Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading is recorded for us in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. We've been in and around this early part in Abraham part of Genesis for a few weeks now, but we haven't been doing it chronologically. We've been doing it thematically. And today, our Old Testament reading, it supports the gospel reading, but it actually supports even more our epistle reading because it is about the faith that Abraham demonstrated. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, sometimes called the faith chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse at the bottom of page 156. According to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of our Lord.
To thee, O Christ.
Well, peace, mercy, and grace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to be preaching once again. It's been how many Sundays? 3 Sundays since I last preached. And today our focus is on faith. But before we get to talking about faith, I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to know, what is your favorite part of the Bible? I'm sure many of you are fans of Paul's letters, those amazing 13 letters that make up the majority of the New Testament, that expand, highlight, and put into practice what Jesus speaks about. Or perhaps you're fans of the poetry, such as Psalms, how it highlights the emotional states of the highs and lows of those who believe and confess and the dangers that they deal with, especially when you go through a David's Psalms. Or maybe you're fans of the wisdom of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. Or, if you're like myself, a big fan of the Old Testament. Not its portions, but in its entirety. Not just because translating Hebrew is so much easier than Greek, but because of all the amazing stories that the Old Testament is full of. Stories of warriors like David and his men, heroes like Samson, Gideon, and Ehud, judges raised up by the Lord who came to the aid of Israel in times of need. Or perhaps the story of all the prophets, how they preached, remain faithful, and put up with so many different struggles, even highlighting the fact that they were running for most of their lives solely for preaching what God has commanded. And not to mention all the numerous bizarre stories of people being eaten by wild animals. It's fascinating
The Old Testament is truly a wild and amazing account, stories that are just never ending. But yet, as you look through these stories, bizarre as some of them may be, you find these men and women who have put their faith into action, put their faith into the assurance and conviction of the promised blessings of God, who upholds his end, who fulfills his word, granting blessings, even though these men and women of old, these saints, did not yet see the promise fulfilled in their time. So as we get to talking about faith today, we come to Hebrews chapter 11. Really, a great summary of the Old Testament when you look at Hebrews, highlighting exactly what we're talking about. Because this chapter, the focus is entirely on faith. And it's a great summary of faith of those who have come before us. Kind of like that Hall of Fame. Well, for us, it's the Hall of Faith. You see, the author of Hebrews highlights the faith of Cain and Abel and the differences thereof. Highlights the faith of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, just to name a few in his portion that he wrote. And doing so, even reminding the people of who their creator is, that they are created and made by God, and that creation was created by him alone. Not any other false idols, not any of the things the other people offer up, but it was God who upheld his end. And doing so rightly, helping these people to learn, have a proper understanding of what the meaning of faith truly is, according to God's definition, where we learn in verse 1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So let's start with assurance. See, assurance is a certainty about something. Well, in this case, faith. Faith, first of all, is being sure of the things for which you hope. The hope that is not the same as, oh boy, I hope the AC in my car works today. Or gee, I hope it's not going to rain come Wednesday when we wish to go mini golfing and lose out again to the weather. That's not biblical faith. The way you look at faith here, as when we talk about in Scripture, when it's talked about by these people, is faith that is sure, that is certain. It is faith that doesn't wane or bend beneath the newest fad, trend, or whatever emotional state that we're currently in. This is faith that is held first and foremost in the assurances given to us by God. Held in his promises that he upholds. Held by the one who promised to be faithful and fulfill his promises. That's biblical faith. Now, don't miss out on the assurance just because there are things about God, about this world, even about ourselves that we don't quite yet understand. Rather, the things that God has revealed to us in his word, the things he has given to us in the Holy Scriptures, are the things that you and I are called to believe, called to teach and confess to the world at large, to be absolutely certain and sure thereof. Because it's full of the promises that he has given to us. And these promises are the object of our Christian hope. And you know many of these promises. You know many of these assurances. The assurance that our God will not flood the world again, where he shows it by a rainbow in the sky, as he told Noah and he showed to him and his family following the flood. The assurance that God hears our prayers, that he doesn't ignore us, that he hasn't forsaken us, and that he's always near and dear. Even the promise that we can come before the altar of our Lord without fear of being struck dead like those of the high priest there in the temple. We even have the promise that Christ's body and blood was shed, given for us, that his blood was shed to forgive us of all our sins, known and unknown, in the past, the present, even in the future. Can we be sure about that promise that God made to us through his Son? Absolutely. Absolutely, we can be sure that because God has upheld it. And see, believing that is faith. You and I have been promised that he who died and rose again is going to prepare a place for us so that we can be there with him also. Believing this is faith. And there are many more promises that we could talk about. We could spend the days on end going over the promises of our Lord. But these promises, they are the object of the hope of Christians. And the one who puts their assurance in these amazing promises of God has the kind of faith that God desires for us to have. The kind of faith that saves. See, that's assurance. Now here's conviction. See, conviction means to have a strong persuasion or belief. It means having the evidence and reports that back up any and all such claims. Now, this is not talking about blind faith. This is talking about faith that's based on evidence, faith that makes sense to us. It's a faith that we can understand, a faith that we can really dig our claws into because we are convinced. So when the writer of the Hebrews says that faith is being convinced by the evidence, so we're convinced by the things of which we see. But yet, we're also convinced of the things that we have not yet seen. We're convinced that we believe in a God who has existed long before time ever existed. We have a God who's been around, well, we're not sure how long. But we have a God who's always been there. We have a God who took on human flesh to be born of a virgin, to come and live amongst his own people, rescuing us from our own sin and failures. We believe in a heaven that we can't see, can't touch, can't taste. We can't explore with our five senses. But yet, we are convinced it exists. We believe in a God, our Lord, who rose and ascended into heaven following the 40 days after he rose from the dead. We believe it. We are convinced. We are convicted that he actually did because he rose in front of his own disciples. And even before then, he showed himself to over 500 brothers, those who believed and confessed. We even believe that Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said. We believe that God washes away our sins in holy baptism, where we are baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection. And here, even though we can't see his body, can't see his blood, we know, we are convinced, we are convicted that it is there, right there on the altar of Holy Communion. Because he who died and rose again, who ascended before the Father, has given us the promise that he is there. As recorded in Matthew 26, when he talks about that this is my body, that this is my blood, that is exactly what he is talking about. This stands in for, or this might mean. No, it is, this is. We are convinced, and we are convicted because our God upholds everything that we're talking about. Our God keeps his promises, and our God has given us this evidence. But can we believe this? Do we actually think that this is certain and true? Yes, absolutely. We believe and teach that this actually is true. We believe and teach that our God exists, that our God has been around forever. We believe and teach and confess to each generation that our God is who he claims to be. Believing this is faith, a faith that God desires for you and I to have, a faith that saves. Now that's conviction. But as we look at Hebrews 11 and see if all these great saints of the Old Testament had this same faith, which means that the history of the Old Testament truly is the history of faith, the faith that saves you for the sake of Christ, Jesus. And it's the very same faith that these saints of old held on to. The same faith that saved Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, Rahab, and all the rest. See, they were commended for having the same faith in God that you and I have. You see, the very same faith that we have, they had. But there's one difference between us and them. And that difference comes down to what is spoken about later in this chapter, where the author of this letter says that they did not receive what was promised. Not that God didn't uphold his word, but that they didn't see the promise fulfilled in their days. But we have. We have received this promise. See, those of old look towards the cross, look towards the coming Messiah, look towards the promise that was to be fulfilled. You and I, we look back and reflect upon the cross of our Lord. We look back and reflect upon the work and completion that he did on our behalf, where the promise was fulfilled. You see, for us and for them, it's all about faith. It's putting our faith in the God who keeps his promises. It's putting your faith in the one who actually upholds his end of the deal. This is a faith that has the assurance and the conviction to go with it. And so when we look at Scripture and we look at the story that we see unfolded from Genesis to Revelation, it has always been about Christ. It has always been about the promise that was to come, or the promise that we look back upon. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, the story never changes. See, Adam and Eve looked towards the promise that was to come. Abraham was reminded that the Messiah would be counted amongst his own descendants. That everything was pointing to the arrival of our Lord. See, everything was pointing to the cross, pointing to the Son of God dying for the sins of this world. See, the stories of the Old Testament are stories of sinners just like you and me, those who face struggles in this life. And sure, they're not exactly the same as you and I face today. But it doesn't change the fact that they have still faced their struggles. You and I face these problems just the same. Be it doubt, being told to believe something else, or being told that our convictions are just false hopes and lies. But even then, we can look back at these old stories, look back at these saints of old, and learn from them. Learn how they maintained their faith, how they held on to God and his promises, and even how they still clung to him when the world wanted nothing more than their own destruction, and indeed their own extermination. But let us cling to these promises, Let us cling to the hopes that we have in God. The same hope that they had, and the same hope that you and I have still today. You know, perhaps this might make you reconsider and convince you that the Old Testament might just be the new favorite part of the Bible. I mean, those stories are amazing. They're never ending. But these stories tell us about these saints who've come before us, who have held on to their God, and show us what it means to have faith, even to live it out. So let us cling to our God. Let us cling to the promises that we have. Let us hold on to our Lord and Savior with full assurance, with full conviction. Because that is what faith is. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.